getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hello and welcome into the Bottom Line, a Friday edition. We've made it to the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. You've got us on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Live from the First United Bank studio, going all the way up to 3 o'clock, three full hours with us. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. Or you can call us on the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973. You can also take us anywhere with a mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. There was a time where it was Cowboys 49ers. About 15 years ago, it was Pats Colts. Do we have the new one with Chiefs and Bengals? We're going to talk plenty of the conference championships today. We're also going to talk Big 12 SEC Challenge basketball today. Plenty of it.
Do we have to?
We have to. Right here on the Bottom Line, Clint Scott, Chris Snead, Kyler Carrasco, Lucas White back there as well.
We will get during the day, during the hour, I hope, the final preseason college baseball poll.
Yes.
Will come out today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I would like to think that we can break that for the first time. Seeing as I'm voting that poll, I think that I can probably make sure that we get that. Oh. I'm actually, we should have that today.
What's up, Snee?
What it do, y'all? I don't know, man. I'm just, I'm in the midst of spending $5,000 on one of my vehicles to get it back in working condition. I've got a person that's Facebook harassing me in Houston. I don't have any Cowboys to watch this weekend. And I have to watch the Eagles this weekend. And the 49ers. That's like Red China in Russia. I mean, and then it's just I got a lot of stuff happening, you know? It's good. Just chilling.
Man, the $5,000 on a vehicle, you know, there's a lot. It's never fun to spend a large amount of money unless you're planning on it.
Well, no,
and it's like a trip, or I guess that's, or well, you know, whatever, or you're purchasing something for the first time. But as far as like surprise bad ones, there's nothing worse for me than a vehicle.
Well, I knew I had a $2,200 issue, and I waited until after the football season. I said, okay, I'm going to take care of the $2,200 issue. And as I got into the $2,200 issue, they said, hey, you've got this other issue that's going to cost you about $3,500.
Ouch, dagger, heart, wallet.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you're like, well, you know, I could sell it. And then I was like, you know, and I said, but it's not worth what I'm going to get for it.
Yeah.
So there it is. And then apparently I'm super soft because I like pecan roasted coffee with hazelnut.
And well, who said that?
Apparently that's I'm SAWFT.
SAWFT.
I'm super soft.
Soft?
Yeah.
You're not soft.
I had, because remember yesterday.
Who's telling you that?
Oh, apparently that, you know, they were going off on me on the previous show.
Oh, on the previous show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Somebody texted in and they said that Snead is soft because he's having pecan flavored coffee. It's just a coffee I got down at the local convenience store. Not like I went into the coffee shop that rhymes with car trucks and asked for that. I didn't ask for skinny foam latte, double half foam, two foam.
Mm-hmm.
I put a little hazelnut in my coffee, my pecan coffee, which still tasted like garlic.
How's the room back there? A little bit better? We can actually breathe in here today, so that's fantastic.
I did not smell any, I didn't get any coffee.
So much better.
So much better.
How did I know you lost your game last night. Did you wear the long sleeve? Did you sweat garlic through your pores?
It's not because I didn't put in a lot of work, but I didn't sweat at all. Last night,
he didn't put any work
in. Clint was sweating.
Did you glisten?
Well, that's not fair.
I can't remember which one of my daughters said that. Dad, I don't sweat, I glisten. I was like, okay.
I shine. I don't sweat, I shine, baby.
All right.
Well, so yeah, it's true because there's three guys on the team, Lucas and I obviously being two-thirds of that, and Lucas and Nathan have a similar stature, and, like, they don't sweat.
Are you just, so, like, the big bruising middle?
Like, I'm the big sweaty guy.
You're,
like,
the big, you're the big middle?
Yeah, I'm okay. The big middle. So big middle, heavy spiker. Okay. That's me. All
right. But you lost.
But we lost.
Nah, he can spike really hard. Nice. If I was on the opposite side, I'd kind of dodge it.
Oh, no, it's pretty. we get this from Steven early. Blackham Sneedster. Sorry to hear about the 5,000. That sucks.
That does. It's
only
okay.
Solace is the Sneed vehicle fleet.
It's the fleet. I gotta get the caddy off the DL. And we'll get it back up and running. And it's running. You just got a differential issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a I had a suspension issue, and they said, "Hey, you know your differential's like dragging, is grinding right now." It's what?
say that again. One more time.
I thought it was part of the suspension issue. No
surprise.
It's okay. Bad surprise. No, it is okay. It's okay. I mean, I'm not like Woodman and just gonna say. I only carry hundreds here, so.
I only write checks if they start with 10,000. Is that okay? Can you actually up that number?
No. Yeah. It's okay. Hey, we got it taken care of. I got a dude working on it right now for me, so.
Shout out. We will have some Big 12 basketball tomorrow, both Texas Tech teams, at 11 o'clock. Your coverage on 100.7 The Score right here, and Double T 97.3 for the men's team. Traveling to Baton Rouge, taking on the Louisiana State Bayou Bengals.
Going to Red Stick.
And then 107.7 Yes FM at 1:30. It's Lady Raider basketball as they host Baylor. Now, you trace back to last Saturday, Sneed, with me. We were talking plenty of Lady Raider basketball, right? It just come off back-to-back wins on the road at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Doesn't go the way they want. Disappointing loss on the road, but still, now this is something you're keeping up with. It's the tournament tracker for this team, and you're starting to do that now. Clearly, with wins and losses, a 3-4 in conference play. Have not exactly had a great track record against the Lady Bears.
Okay. There's. I think you have to look at this, and Lady Raiders used to have a great track record against the Lady Bears, and I would say.
If I use the word of late, is of that late, better?
You said you have to look at this pre-Mulkey, post-Mulkey, and really Mulkey's first couple of years, she had zero success against Marsha Sharp. I mean, and they Kim Mulkey. I always go back to the interview where Mulkey talks about the fact they want to get to where the Lady Raiders are as a program, and that was not early. And she didn't start dominating until she'd been there for a couple of years. And then she started getting some players. And
But you look at this Baylor squad, and right now, I mean, they're 4-3 in conference play. You look at talent level, feels pretty even.
They're not. This is not the teams you saw playing with the ones that were winning natties on the regular. Mm-hmm.
It's a very, as far as Baylor goes, about as winnable, I think, as you'll find. And you have a chance to even up both conference records at 4-4.
I'm going to go to that game tomorrow.
Yeah. Be at 1:30 if you want to hear it on the radio, 107.7 ESFM, 1:30 Lady Raider basketball, hosting Baylor.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, a Friday edition. Thank you for hanging out with us, Clint Scott, with Chris Snead, Tyler Carrasco, and Lucas Wyatt behind the glass, taking care of us. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcomed there. Comments like... We beat Baylor last year, just FYI.
No, you didn't.
We did. He replied back in, or she, never mind, was thinking,
no,
we did, but apparently not. Nope, yeah, it's been at least a decade since we beat Baylor.
Actually, I'm looking at the first WIC is 2006. She won 64-62 in Lubbock. And that was an upset.
Now, something that, I mean, as far as trying to think back from last year, might be part of the confusing is because you go 4-14 in Big 12 play last year, right?
Yeah.
And some of the wins you had, though, were head-scratching because you beat 9th-ranked Texas on the road. You beat 25th-ranked Kansas State at home, and you beat a ranked Oklahoma team on the road. Yeah, on the road. And the other one was TCU, so it was kind of confusing the ones you would pull out last year.
Yeah.
Didn't win very many, but you won some really good ones. And so maybe a little bit of just, you know, confused revisionist history off the top of the head there. But it has been a while since you beat Baylor.
Yeah, 2006. So, and then the funny, this is a weird history of this. In the Big 12 era since 1999, you are 11-31 against them.
Mm.
But in the early, the Southwest Conference, I mean, the funny part, I'm looking at the history here. The Southwest Conference days are not included. And I think it's because Baylor didn't play women's basketball then. I think I'm going to have to go back and check it. But on here, it shows that you played in 1976, 76, and 77. And then there's a gap until 1999. And then you won the first 9 games. 8 games against them. Lost 2. And then you were pretty dominant in the first 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then about the time Kim Mulkey showed up, see you later. See you later.
And it's crazy because she leaves and how quickly
they
fall back to
swirling
average.
Swirling the drain.
And it's,
they are a big old pile of average with everyone else.
Yeah, so you have them next. Again, that'll be tomorrow, 1:30, 107.7. ESFM, and you look past their schedule. We mentioned this again last week, but still, it holds true because right now you have a stretch in front of you. Again, with the Big 12 comparatively between the women's side and the men's side. The men's side is a gauntlet, and I'm not saying on the women's side it's not tough because it's still a very good conference. It's just you don't have any true championship-type contender-feeling teams. When you
in the
look
Big
at
12?
It, in the Big 12 from the women's side?
What is it that we saw? This is the first time since, like, history of ever there are no top 25 AP teams in the state of Texas.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird, right?
That is weird because, I mean, hey, Baylor. Remember you guys, that mantle? Hey, maybe that's why Kim Mulkey got lost.
Yeah, you have Baylor.
That and that big old dump truck of money they backed up to her house.
You have Baylor at home, and then after that, next Wednesday at Oklahoma State, and then at home against Kansas State team that you thumped pretty good there on the road. So polar opposite feelings right now. Again, I mean, you're still have a losing record in conference play, but I can't remember what the year. I think since like 2010, 2011. I don't think that this would be breaking news to anyone or a hot take. This will be the first year since then that the Lady Raiders will have a better conference record than the men's team. And that's just a, yeah.
What?
That's it. Again, it's not confirmed. There's a lot of work both ways to get there, but I feel pretty confident in saying that right now. And again, you're not going to pick up a conference win on Saturday. You're just trying to pick up a win, though, for the first time in 9 tries now against a very, very bad LSU team.
Okay, so I went and found a different source here. The overall record between Texas Tech and Baylor, Lady Raiders, Lady Bears. Baylor 49, Tech 47.
Mm.
And that speaks. You think about what we just said, that they had won every game between today and 2006.
Mm.
And they just now have a 2-game lead over the Lady Raiders, which tells you how dominant the Lady Raiders were over Baylor previous to that.
Mm-hmm. Same person takes in. I was probably thinking about the 80-88 loss from last season. Maybe it felt like a win playing them that close on the road.
Okay.
Snead is the real fat cat of the stations.
God. I think it's the person that probably said that last week.
Surprised. Usually we've had a line of trash talk at this point in the program from one bullfighter. It's off his game today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got some conference championships headed your way on Sunday. First at 1 o'clock, it's the NFC championship game. The Eagles hosting the 49ers.
Yeah, Red China playing Russia. Maybe the game will get weathered out. Maybe there'll be an ice storm. Keep them from playing the game, and they'll both lose. And they'll play the Super Bowl between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs.
I would venture to guess, if you took away the labels of the games, right? You took away conference championship, you took away Super Bowl, and you had the Eagles playing the 49ers like they are. Mm. You had the Chiefs and the Bengals playing like they are. And then you have whatever the Super Bowl matchup ends up being, whatever that recipe is. If you took away the titles, the best game of the three would be the Chiefs and the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the problem for me. No matter what happens in the NFC Championship game, I'm going to be sour. I'm going to be super sour, because either a team that the Cowboys are fighting with, you know, for NFC Super Bowl championships lead, mm-hmm. or a team from your division that you have, you know, you've held under your thumb, you know, for the most part of your career, of the franchise history, and now they're about to get a chance to play for a Super Bowl. Now, do I think either of those teams will beat either of the teams from the AFC? No. But here's the thing. I don't want to have to root for the Cincinnati Bengals to beat one of those teams. I want to be able to root for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to have a real rooting interest. I want to go down to a sporting goods store and buy a Kansas City Chiefs hat, put that on with a Kansas City Chiefs shirt, mm-hmm. and watch that game and be excited.
And this is where I go to what I alluded to opening the show. And I didn't think it would be Joe Burrow. I thought it would be Josh Allen. And I don't think Josh Allen is a poor quarterback. A lot of people have tried to put up like a Justin Herbert, who's a really good quarterback too. It doesn't help that they're going to be in the same division. But this, and it starts with a win, though, I think, from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Before you have this real conversation. Because the Chiefs are 0-3. And one of those was the last time you had an AFC Championship game just last year, where the Chiefs gave up an 18-0 loss. And in every single game, they haven't been able to tackle the Bengals. Every single time, too, in all three of these losses, the Chiefs have entered the fourth quarter with a 75% chance or better to win the game, and they've dropped all three. But if the Chiefs get it on Sunday, I think they will. It's going to be a tough one. If the Chiefs win, this is the next kind of Brady Manning from the same conference. This is the same 49ers-Cowboys type feel, because I think that this is going to be the conference championship.
With some breaking
a lot
news.
Of times.
Breaking news. You have the breaking news sound. This is real breaking news.
That's pretty much it.
According to ESPN, longtime NCAA commentator Billy Packer has passed away.
Yeah, that came out. That came out this morning.
I know, but we're just going to put it on right now. I mean, it's Billy Packer. It's news to me.
Sorry.
It's still news to me. Someone's been working all morning. Need to be,
some of us have known since this morning, Sneed. Sorry.
I just found out. ESPN reporting Billy Packer passed away.
Yeah.
He locked out of the NCAA tournaments, mm-hmm. 34 NCAA tournaments. He's the voice, like Jim Nance, of the NCAA tournament for a lot of people. Not Clark Kellogg.
Yeah. Billy
Packer.
Last one, I didn't realize this, the last one he had on a live broadcast was the 2008 championship game where KU took out Memphis. And he according to the report, and maybe I read this wrong, he hasn't gone back to a basketball game since obviously watched them on TV and stuff, but he hasn't gone back to a basketball game since that one that he called last.
Interesting. Yeah. Jim Nance has that weird tradition of giving his tie to the player who, I guess, he declares the MVP of the mm-hmm. national championship game, as if that guy would want it.
I would want it. If I was a player, I'd take Jim Nance's tie. That's like a weird, weird badge of honor.
But
like, you have like, you're this high-profile athlete, right? And you probably have all these medals and trophies from growing up, and all of a sudden you just have a tie. Like, what's that?
That's Jim Nance's tie.
That's Jim Nance. That's freaking, get it right. That's freaking Jim Nance's tie.
Okay.
Bottom line at 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
is the bottom line at 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, a Friday edition.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully you got some big, good weekend plans coming and headed your way. Let us know what those are if you want to on the H4 Center chat line. Thoughts, comments.
XFL clinic time, baby.
Oh, yeah.
XFL. Da. Oh, it's NFL. Sorry.
Well, I was literally about to start singing an NFL song.
Same.
It was a different one, but it was like,
yeah.
What's that? Does the XFL, do they have a song?
I don't know. We'll find out this weekend. We get to talk to The Rock.
Well, because they had the, I mean, I know going back to the NFL, different thing, but remember how big of a deal it was that Thursday Night Football on Amazon, they had like their own song and they released the video where it was the orchestra and it was like, not John Tesh.
Well, they all have their own song.
It's not the Tesh level. I know, but it wasn't memorable to me.
Well, it's just the first year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to let it play. You got to let it brand itself.
Yeah.
You got to let it breathe.
Let it breathe. Let it breathe. Clint Scott, Chris Need, Connor Carrasco, Lucas White. It's time now for a Friday edition of Kaylee's Dailies.
A highly produced segment. All right.
Hey, I worked hard on that.
Clean.
I actually recorded animals, like in the savannah. That definitely wasn't like basic sound bites.
Here is
that
Clint on the Serengeti.
I was almost a one-armed kicker. The lion that I got in there.
Wow. Yeah. Too soon. All right. Clint, there are several species in the animal kingdom that utilize some sort of hibernation. Did you know that? They do this during the winter.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Get to your Google machine here. The Isabella tiger mouth moth. The Isabella tiger mouth moth, which inhabits the northern United States and southern areas of Canada, takes hibernation one step further by entering what is essentially suspended animation while in its larvae form as a caterpillar. Suspended animation. The Isabella tiger mouth moth are referred to as the woolly bear caterpillars as larvae. You've seen them. You've seen them, the little woolly caterpillar?
I didn't. Yes.
That's what they're called. Mm-hmm. Woolly bear caterpillars have the ability to completely stop pumping blood and cease to breathe during the winter to conserve energy. I wish I could do that. Additionally,
a whole lot. I know it's supposed to be something related to this. Really lame. There's a fly called the woolly booger for like fly fishing fly.
Well, you just type, ruined it. You just ruined like Monday's this. Kaylee's Dailies for everyone. No, just kidding.
I mean, I basically have this guy in a tackle box right now.
Okay. So this species of insect is the longest lived caterpillar, where they take up to 14 years to undergo the metamorphosis from caterpillar to moth.
14 years.
Take that, 7-year cicadas, the 17-year cicadas.
Yeah, losers.
Yeah.
7 years, what else you got?
Yeah.
This is child's play.
Yeah, these guys, 14 years just to go from caterpillar to moth.
Yeah, they get acne and everything too. Pretty awkward. Their voice changes. Yeah, I really can't wait to be a butterfly.
Yeah, a butterfly.
You go sweet babes online now.
I got Lady Raiders in my future tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll be watching that. Surprise, there are no reserve seats available for that game. So I'm sitting in the GAs. I'm going to be watching or listening to. I'm traveling to XFL clinic on Sunday, and then I'll be XFLing it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Will you take in any before the Lady Raiders basketball game of the men's side? They take on LSU.
Are they playing tomorrow?
They are.
What did I tell you yesterday? It is now 21 days till baseball season.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
I mean,
Now, again, it won't be a conference win. LSU in their own right.
It won't
they
be a
are
conference
on
loss
a
either.
Seven-game losing streak. They've had 20-point loss to Arkansas recently. They've lost 67-49 to Auburn. Mm-hmm. They got smacked by Alabama, who's ranked second in the country right now. That was a 106-66 loss. Again, this was an LSU team that was expected to be bad. But as far as Again, not a Big 12 win, which would feel a lot better, but this is the true most winnable game on your schedule, even without pop out and, I mean, injuries and swirling down the drain right now. I mean, just trying not to be all the way flushed out of the college basketball world. This is the most winnable game.
I just don't see it. I'm going to be what I said earlier in the week. It's a no until they show me they can. Mm. And so I'm going to go LSU 75. I know. LSU 65, Tech 50.
Hmm. Luke Sinai will let you know. And Kyler will let you know what we think about this game at 115 when we do our blind projections.
I don't have the luxury. So I just gave you my blind projection. Is there a take versus take question I can is there one? Who's got the question?
Well, Lucas has the question, so I would like have to take out my headphones.
You can't do that. Well, then I can give you the answers, maybe. Is there like a bonus question I could get?
Yeah, Lucas, what was the question that was cut?
I'll take that.
If you could have an arcade game in your house, like retro style.
Galaga. Galaga and or Zaxxon.
If I could have an arcade game in my house, there was a very cheesy one in the Dodge City Grapevine Mall, as it was called, that had an arcade, and half of the arcade didn't work. You never knew what was going to. But when this one did work, it was my favorite. It was a gunfighter one, and it had the little holster, and you had to speed draw. Man, little Southwest Kansas Clint loved that.
There was one other game that they had in the they had a weird selection of games in the old Bledsoe Gordon Snead lounge back in the 80s. And one of them they had was called Street Football, and it was cool. And it was basically playing football. And it was like a 5-on-5 game of street football, and you had to run like you set the routes up and you run down to the manhole cover and then go running out. It was pretty cool, and you could like throw over cars and stuff like that. But if I could have one in my house, it'd be Galaga.
I don't know if this counts too, but like, because usually if you go to an arcade, they have the classic arcade games, but then they have like the real kind of ticket gainers, like they have skee ball, air hockey, things like that. Little miniature basketball, that's the best one of all time. And I know there's machines that are accessible that you can just get that aren't really like the arcade style because they just have them. But
if you can get the old Papa Shots, you know, if you get that deal and if the ball's just a little flat, really all you gotta do is just whoosh.
You watch videos of guys who are good at that. They're not actually shooting.
It's literally just throwing it up there.
It's the version. It's volume. It's the halftime version when they do the, you know, throw the football in the can, and they're not throwing it. They're just like, it's like a chest pass.
It
infuriates me. It makes me so mad. There should be rules that they have to try to throw it.
You have to throw it either. I mean, this whole chest pass stuff is like, so stupid. Chest pass.
Gosh. And they used to not do that. It was like someone figured that out about a decade ago.
Let's do this.
No one stopped them.
If you're going to give me $100,000, I want to see you stun set drop it back, throw a 35-yard out into a bucket over there. That's what I want to give you $100,000 for. Not because you go, chest pass.
Could you imagine if like people were like in tennis and basketball where they yelled like that every time they actually did a chest pass?
Chest pass, they would freak
out the defender. They're at the top of the key. They're just passing it over the right side. You scared me. We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The C in TCU, not a rival, stands for cash instead of Christian, judging by their tuition rates.
Texas Cash University.
I like that. Don't forget about the awful basketball court.
Oh my God. It's bad. Who painted that thing?
It's blinding.
What is that? Where did that come from?
Disgusting.
Holy shnikes. I mean, the first time you see that thing, it's like, oh, geez, my eyes. What in the world is that? Is that frog skin? And by the way, you're actually frogs. You're actually lizards. By the way.
Not a rival. Not an approved rival.
Chest pass. Not my rival.
As we end hour number one. What happened to Snead Rant? Resolution 2023.
Yeah, that lasted about 8 days, dude. You're way late to the party.
Also, excellent ideas to punish UT and OU for leaving early, by the way. Yeah, we're trying.
It. We're trying. I would punish them for leaving.
We're trying to do that, and we're trying to take down a certain banner in the USA.
Take the banner down.
We haven't made strides in either, but we're going
to
keep doing it.
All right,
man.
Y'all have a good y'all have a great week next week. I'll be listening in, trying in and out of XFL stuff.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Quinn Scott, Kyler Carrasco, and Lucas White are still here hanging out with us, helping us out. And if you're watching on Fox 34 News now, a new face, Matt Estenson. What's up, man? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's a pleasure to be here working with you three professionals.
I don't know what that word means. None of us know what that word means around here. Pump the brakes on that. Well, cool, man. So, first time getting you on, and if you don't know him yet, you're going to get to know him. But we'll just start with a basic question. I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. Icebreakers. That's our favorite thing to do here.
Icebreakers, huh? Okay. Well,
everyone say three interesting things about themselves as we go around the circle.
Born and raised here. Lived here most of my life here up in Lubbock. Graduated from Coronado. Kind of bounced around. Lived in Dallas. Lived in Colorado for 3 years. And went up to Georgia and was a firefighter up there. Lived there for a couple of years. Enjoyed that. And then we decided to come back. So got a little girl. She's about to turn 2. Graduated from Tarleton State. So, you know, I root for Tech hardcore. Tarleton State is not really the sports school. We tend to get beat. In fact, when we just moved to Division I not too long ago, and, you know, I know this year TCU put the stomping on us. So I was like, well, we're not going far with this Division I thing for a while.
Well, you got to start somewhere, right? I mean,
we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah. So
well, very cool. Glad to have you, man. Glad to have you. Let's get into a little bit, you know, Texas Tech fan. Boy, your thoughts on the basketball season from the men's side this year? I mean, completely unheard of, flattening, bewildering that it's happened, but...
Yeah, just night and day from last year and some of the previous years that we've had. Man, our offense just doesn't look... You know, I know both sides of the ball is rough right now, but our offense really looks like it is... It's just not up to par of a Division I school. You know, even watching that last game, you know, there were such high hopes to beat, you know, to come out with the W last game. And there was multiple times when you would look at the offense, there's not a lot of leadership, it seems. And then you'd have guys, you know, running into the same space, bumping into each other. And it just, I don't know. You know, I think everybody tries to find a reason of why we're not, you know, better than what we are. But I don't know that reason. I think if anybody knew that reason... You know, they'd be the million-dollar man, but...
And that's been the interesting thing, right? You've had a lot of people trying to play detective.
That's right.
I mean, we've done it here between all the shows that we have. I mean, fans, chat lines, Twitter, gross. And if it's not just like there's one source, right? It's not like there's just a thorn sitting there in the lion's paw and all of a sudden you pluck that out and go, oh... Oh, I'm just fine.
It worked.
And that's what's alarming to me, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, boy, this is never going to be the same Texas Tech program. There was a run, and it's gone, and just go ahead and say sayonara. You're never going to see that sort of success again. But it is alarming because it feels like there's personnel issues. It feels like there's chemistry issues. It feels like there's player selection when you're getting some of these guys in from a coaching standpoint. That's an issue. I mean, just throw a dart at the board, put a problem up, and then whatever the dart lands on, that word probably, yeah, that's probably an issue right now. And that's what you feel like right now.
Yeah, and we would hit all those problems, right, when you look at this season. There's, you know, you said the chemistry, which that's what I think. There's no team unity. We really don't have a face of our offense. Like when we need something to get done, we have somebody to go to consistently. We have, you know, that kind of drive or that playbook. And that's what I really what I feel. It's just, the offense was hard to watch, and you know we jumped out to a big lead in that last game, and I was like, okay, we got something going. But really, what that game did to me is showed me how bad we are. It didn't, you know, everybody was hoping it would be kind of a stepping stone, but it actually did the opposite in my mind. I was like, okay, we're rough, you know, and that's, it's just one of those years. But like I said, I don't think I don't think at this point, you know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, maybe a couple wins here, start to steamroll and get us going. And I just don't see that. You know, I remain positive, though.
That's good. That's good. That's good because there's not a lot of that rolling around right now. Okay.
It can't get any worse.
Well,
see,
I'll argue that because I said, and I stand by this, I said on Monday, I said, you want to know how low the floor really is? Lose to the LSU Tigers tomorrow that are awful, coming off sanctions, fired their coach, and didn't have – they didn't know who their roster was going to be until way late in the game, and it wasn't the normal because we had all these old guys leave. No, they said, I mean, we're going to be banned from stuff, so we're leaving. We're out of here. This was a ranked team last year, and, like, you knew, like – I mean, speaking of swirling the drain, that was the Tigers coming into this year. It's gone as expected. Some might say a little bit better because they actually do have an SEC win. They've lost seven straight, though. I stand by, you lose to LSU tomorrow, but as low as you feel right now in the Big 12, I promise you, you will want to throw up twice as much. Like, it could be bad. We'll see in that game as well. I'll pick them. Of course, that'll be part of our blind projections here in the next segment. We do get an important question on the chat line from Patrick. He asked, do you tip at Sonic, and what is your stance on Crocs?
I'm a no-Croc man. I do wear Hey Dudes, but only to take the trash out. You know, I prefer to have shoes on. I'm not a flip-flop guy. I am shoes all the time. Tipping at Sonic. No, if I have loose change in the car, I will.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that makes me sound like a bad guy now, but no. I don't know. If I'm going to get a foot-long Coney and some tater tots, tipping does not come across my mind.
I do it more now because it's now if you do it, you know, pay with a card, they just give the option. It's just one extra button, right? And I'm not having to, like, fiddle with the amount of change because usually it's like, keep the change or keep a dollar. You don't have to, like, do math or anything like that. They just have the button right there and you just press it.
Do you tip to get your haircut?
No. I do not.
Okay.
Yeah. Mostly because, I mean, my hair's not even hard to cut. And I'm going to sound so old right now. I already feel like any place I go to that I'm, like, paying way too much for this haircut. Like, my hair is disappearing anyways.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to matter in about hopefully 5 years. That's the, like, timeline I'm hoping we make it to before I just, like, fully commit. Because I don't want to do the thing where, like, it's clearly you're mostly bald, but you're still, like, growing out a patch and you look like a clown. I'm not going to do that. Like, when it's time. I'm going to rip that Band-Aid off.
Hold on to it.
I'm trying. I'm trying to. Yeah. Let's just say receding has been a new word in my dictionary in the past year and a half. We get this question. Can we get confirmation that Fisher got on the plane? That was a big question yesterday. Strips all of his, like, what, Instagram, social media, of anything Texas Tech related. Five-star freshman coming in, obviously not getting the playing time that he wanted to, and it doesn't seem like he's going to get any more. You saw him a little bit more in the West Virginia game, but even then, as you mentioned, the woof that loss was. I haven't seen. Who knows? Someone may have put this out there. I'll tell you what, I'll do a little bit of, speaking of detective work, I'll do some sleuthing in the break, but who knows?
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
We get this on the chat line. Duck Hunt or any shooting game? Big Duck Hunt fan. Loved it growing up.
Yeah, Duck Hunt by far. Did you get this far from the TV when you played as a kid?
Oh, because, yeah.
And hit the TV with the gun, kind of like. Yeah, that was me.
The rumor, like, you know, your eyes are going to be fried out of your head or whatever. It's going to fry your brain if you stand that close to the TV. I know that the entire generation that I grew up with and am a part of proved that theory wrong because it was like 10 years of that just basically wearing the TV as a pair of goggles.
Yes. That's the only way to play.
Yeah.
I mean,
so. And that stupid dog. Circling the drain definitely describes Tech basketball at the moment. Hoping baseball brings the lumber this year. February 17th. It's coming. It's right around the corner. Starting off with a four-game home series against the Gonzaga Bulldogs. I've got a mini NBA name arcade machine. Got it for Christmas. It was the OG. Tournament edition and NBA hang time. That's pretty awesome. Kobe said 100% Galaga for me too. My dad hates video games, but he loves Galaga. So every single time we saw one of those when I was growing up, we'd stop and play. Great memories. That's cool. You know, little connection there with a relationship side too. It's pretty sweet. Kobe also said, me and a friend in high school had a standing pop a shot challenge. Whoever lost would pay next time we saw one. Probably played over 100 times throughout high school. And that's what, again, if it wasn't the, said earlier, if it wasn't the quick draw game for me in my house, it'd be the pop a shot. And you can get one, but I want specifically the arcade version where like the rim is clearly dinged up. It's not a circle or an oval. Somehow it's like a squiggly line because it's so it's so old. All right. It's time for Matt's question of the day.
Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
Okay. With the Panthers just getting their head coach, my question would be, which team would you take over as the head coach right now? We have the Colts, Broncos, Texans, and Cardinals.
Oh, man, not the Texans. I know it's not that for me. And the Texans, unfortunately, for some of our Houston fan listeners, is the biggest dumpster fire in the NFL right now. I don't know how there would be any argument against it. I hope they get D'Amico Ryans, though. I do. And I like D'Amico Ryans, and I think that he would be a good starting point for him. But whoever takes over has a lot of ground to make up. It's not going to be them. I think it's the Colts. I do, because I look at the rosters right now, and from one side, I don't want to be near Kyler Murray, so I don't really want to be with the Cardinals. I don't want to be with that drama, the questions, leadership, all that, and they have hitched their wagon to him, and he's not going away anytime soon. I don't want any part of that. The Broncos, man, it was so bad this year. It was so bad with Russell Wilson. It's hard to be like, and I know it's like a very minuscule amount of these jobs, right? Like there's 32 of them. Still, I look at that one. That's the second best one you got. The Colts have a defense, right? They've had some quarterback issues since Andrew Luck abruptly retired, but they got a good defense. I think they can get back to a good running game. They clearly have some things to figure out. I just think they have the least amount. They don't have as much drama. They play in a terrible division right now. Shout out Texans. I think for me, the best one was the Panthers, and now it's the Colts since the Panthers has been taken.
All right.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Colts had the best chance to make the biggest jump this offseason. Quarterback's definitely in question, but yeah, JT in the backfield who can definitely get 1,000 rushing yards in a season. The biggest factor for me would be the division is completely wide open. I know the Texans aren't gonna be a magical team overnight. The Titans are crumbling with their quarterback situation, and I mean the Jags are good, but I mean, how long are you going to ride that train? I mean, I think the Colts have the best potential long-term to be a stellar team back when they were back in the early 2000s with Manning and Harrison and all them.
Mm-hmm. Now, who would you take?
It wouldn't be the Cardinals. I am on board with you on that. I think they've got a mixture of some quarterback issues and some older players, you know, bad combination. Wouldn't be the Broncos as well. I don't know what's wrong with Russell Wilson. I might go with the Texans, and only because when you're getting an opportunity to be a coach, and like you said, there's only so little spots, right? There's only, you know, 32 positions for this. There's four open. Mm-hmm. You can't get any worse, and any progress would probably keep you around for a while. You're not attached to any players with long contracts. You have good amount of draft picks. It might not be a bad place. So I'd pick the Texans. I'd shout out to the Houston family or fans. I'd go with them. You ain't got nothing to lose. So my fear, though, you said with D'Amico possibly going there, I like him, and that'd be a tough place to go. And, mm-hmm. and if you don't succeed, you'd probably be in the door, out the door kind of thing. And he's got it going right now. He's definitely a hot candidate, I would think, if he's, you know, wanting to take that.
And they're still, if you're being honest, they are still trying to get the Deshaun Watson stink off of them.
The taste out their mouth.
Yes. Yep. And they're trying to detach themselves. And then also you add into it now, I mean, a losing franchise right now. Whoever takes it over, I mean, it's clearly going to be a tough job. What kind of makes me hesitant, too, is are they trying so hard to get away from that stink that they're going to do another quick trigger if you have a year that something doesn't go well? Because it's going to take a little – it's hard to get a professional franchise this far away from success. Now, you would think with, you know, draft picks and stuff coming up that they should be able to turn things around. But still, it's such a crapshoot with the NFL draft. Will they give a coach enough time?
It's going to take some time. It's right? going to take multiple draft mm-hmm. classes to come in and reset that franchise. And mm-hmm. Just like you said, when you're already this far down, it takes forever. A la the Cleveland Browns, you know, no matter who they bring in, they continuously struggle year after year. It's almost like there's a curse on them.
Yeah.
But the Texans will take some time, but yeah, it's not going to be a 1 year fix. That's for sure. No matter who you bring in, you could bring Aaron Rodgers there and mm-hmm. you're not going to have a 1 year fix.
Well, so. And see, that's the other side too. You know, who's coming in, who wants to come in as a free agent right now? To the Texans, nobody.
You'd have to pay them more.
Yes, and you would have to devote so much money to that. Then it's like locking in, and if that doesn't work out, well, whoever that is, stuck with them.
Yeah,
you know. So it is a tough boat. But again, like I said, I'm with you. I like D'Amico Ryans, and I'd like him to get the job. I just hope he has enough time. And I hope that he does well in general. Now, if it's one of those, like, it's clearly not working out, clearly not, you know, a right situation, that's a different thing. But I hope if there are signs that it's not, like, another quick trigger fire, like they've been doing now. And that's the thing. Like, you get into a cycle, too, as a school, as an organization, as a professional team on all levels. Sometimes you get into the cycle of quick triggers, and it is more quick triggers and more quick triggers. And... we'll see what the Texans do, but it's that's a tough one.
Does Jacksonville rule that division for the next 5 years to come?
So Lucas kind of said this. I'm curious because they certainly have the quarterback to do so. When you look around, they're the only one with a franchise quarterback. The question is, can they be consistent enough? And that team's young, in a lot of phases. And so, do any of them hit walls? Any like that? I don't know if rule is quite the word, because I think, like I said, I think the Colts could catch up pretty quick. It's not like the cupboard's bare there. I don't know. I don't know if they rule it. I think it's closer than, I guess, just to dominate, you know, dominating all the other three teams. Now the Texans, they're in the basement for a while.
The Texans rough. The Titans and...
Titans are a weird case because I think
very Titans and Colts will be a good quarterback away from being a serious contender back in that.
Yep. Agree. It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.